What did you say? That's my sermon title. I want to read from Genesis 11:1. It says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech." Now, after the flood, this was after the flood, Noah and his family began to populate the world, and so the people were kind of moving to the east, and they found this wonderful plain, and they decided they wanted to build a city there, and with a tower that reached up into heaven. In other words, they were no longer going to be dependent upon God. They were going to make a name for themselves, because they had reached the pinnacle of human ability, and so it was time for them to show their stuff. Anyway, so then God, he comes down to check out what they're doing. And again, it's not so bad that it isn't so bad what they were doing. It was just the attitude in which, and the intent in which they were doing it. In Genesis 11:5, it says this: "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, 'If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them.'" And including bad stuff. So God didn't, again, didn't say that what they were doing was bad in itself. He simply observed that in unity they could do anything, including rebelling against God. And so the reason mankind could do that was their common language. And there is just a power that comes from unity. And so he just put the brakes on any evil plans that they may have. And so to do that, he stirred up division by confusing their language. But now under the new covenant, which we've come to today, having been saved through faith in Jesus, God wants us to have victory. And it happens to be, for us to be able to accomplish much, we must be able to speak in unity. And so division was a danger. Division was a damper on their ability to do evil, but it's also a damper on the power that we have gained through the cross to do good. And in Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." You know, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about redemption. And what did God say in Galatians 3:13? Does anybody remember? I think we have that verse. It says, Galatians 3:13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by having become a curse for us." And so then we looked at the curses. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we went there and we went through all the curses. And well, not all of them, but there was a lot of them. Remember those? And everybody got so excited when we were reading about all those curses. They started jumping up and down in here and clapping. They were so excited. I think a lot of people, light bulbs were going off, and they were thinking, "Oh, that's where that comes from." And then we looked at the blessings, and that was a little more fun. And, you know, Jesus traded places with us, and he took our bad standing, and he gave us his good standing so that we could have the blessings and not be harmed by the curse. And when God looks at you, you know, he sees the goodness that he saw in Jesus. But if our redemption is not reflected in the words that we speak, we will not experience the blessings that God desires for us. Proverbs 18:21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And so today, you know, death and life are in the power of Jesus, because he reigned over them. And but the way that we release the power that comes from Jesus is through our words. And how we speak can close doors to the power of Christ, or how we speak can open the doors of the power of Christ. So our words are very important. Our language needs to line up with the realities of redemption, not with judgment. Too often our words reflect our own human judgments. We're talking about something, And I don't know about you, but when I'm talking about something in the world, I am an expert. I know exactly what the deal is. And, you know, too often the words that we speak are reflect human judgment, and they're not the opinions of God. They don't reflect His judgments. And so, you know, if you speak death all day long, or if you speak after your human judgments all day long, if you speak according to your own thinking all day long, you will not have faith to believe God. You just can't talk in opposition to the Word of God all day long and then suddenly have faith to believe it. Faith works when your God is big and your obstacle is small. When you talk about your problem, you're magnifying it. You know, you're reinforcing it. We don't only magnify our problem by talking about it over and over and over, but we're worse than that because we like to embellish it. Sometimes we're like little boys showing off who has the biggest scar. Psalms 35:27 says this. It says, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. It didn't say anything about magnifying our problems, magnifying our reality, magnifying the things that are going on in our lives. He says, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. And so, you know, this reveals the heart of God. He does not have pleasure in seeing you suffer. He has pleasure in seeing you prosper. That's what He wants. You need to magnify God in His opinion, not yours. God wants you to prosper. In fact, He's probably for you more than you are yourself. But that will never be your experience if you continually magnify your problem instead of Jesus. Psalms 103:2 says, blessed be the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. So this is something you tell yourself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I will bless the Lord. And I will not forget all His benefits. Some people have a hard time even seeing or understanding a benefit from the Lord because they never rehearse it. They never think about it. All they think about is all the things that are wrong. And after they've built that case, I mean, it's impossible to see anything good from the Lord sometimes. When you rehearse over and over what's wrong in your life or in the world, you'll forget God's benefits. Instead of rehearsing problems, we need to reverse benefits. How can you have faith in the benefits of God if you're always rehearsing the opposite in your life? And I just want to encourage you this. Don't go out and become judgmental. I mean, there's nothing more ironic than listening to someone complain about someone else talking trash. I don't know if you saw the irony in that or not. I don't know how you can expect to be healed. All he does is he just talks about being sick all day long. I don't think I've ever heard him say one good thing in all the years I've known him. You know, they can just go on and they can point out everything somebody else does wrong. I hate to tell you this, but you are the one talking trash. Just like the person that you're accusing. And so don't do that. In other words, as we talk about this stuff, you know, judge yourself and practicing seasoning your own speech. You don't need to go out and immediately start attacking people every time they say something you don't like. You know, and you know, we used to have, I guess the reason I'm sensitive to this is because we used to have these confession police in the church. And, you know, if you told them, if you said, good luck, they'd go, I'm not lucky, you demon. I'm blessed. And, of course, poor people would look at them like, they had no clue what they were talking about, you know, where did that come from? And, you know, the people who went around correcting everyone else were usually the worst offenders. And, I mean, some people got so hung up on confession that every time somebody just slightly misspoke, They could enjoy, you know, they would correct them, and then they would enjoy a moment of self-righteousness by, you know, make sure they pointed out so everybody else saw that this person wasn't speaking according to God's word and how holy they themselves were. And so the message, the way they were doing it, it wasn't very effective, and people just got offended by that. And after a while, we begin to get tired of that, and so you don't tend to hear so much about confession as much as you used to, at least in circles I'm around. But still, we need to hear about the importance of not spewing garbage out of our mouths all day, because that's an issue that we have to address. But we need to address it without being judgmental about other people. We need to just think about your own language, not what somebody else is saying to you all the time. Don't worry about what they say. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And the best way to hear the word of God is to hear yourself speak it. The good news is, it's not that hard to improve the way you talk. Most people speak so much trash, it isn't hard to improve significantly. You know, I used to be pretty good at ping pong by college dorm standards. And you know, when a new person started in playing, I mean, they were terrible. It was just funny. But what was it? If they decided they wanted to play with us, it was funny how fast they could improve at the game. And it wasn't that long before they would become competitive. But you reach a point where improving becomes more difficult. And you know, if you keep playing a lot, you can improve. But you know, the improvements are. In fact, if you just took a few days off, you'd go backwards in your ability. And so when it comes to improving how we talk, most people are so bad, it doesn't take that much effort to improve a whole bunch. But I will say this. Before anybody gets all excited about any of these things, you need to remember that the Bible says that the tongue is the hardest thing to train. And so we're not talking about your problem. We're talking about all of our problem, including me. So anyway, the tongue is difficult to tame, and self-preservation itself is not a big enough motive to help you master your tongue. And that's basically what I've been preaching this morning. In other words, you know, if you want your life to be better, you need to learn to speak better. And that motive will give you some traction. But to really tame your tongue, you will need to fall deeply in love with Jesus. And otherwise, it just becomes impossible. A self-centered person can go to the gym and succeed. And a self-centered person can maybe learn to speak a little bit better. But they can't tame their tongue. Taming the tongue is a spiritual battle, and the power to control the tongue ultimately comes from the love we have of Christ. You know, God operates on the basis of things that he says. You know, if we want to build something, we use our hands. You know, if we want to build a city or a tower, we go out with human ingenuity, but we're limited as to what we can accomplish. And we're trying to get to Mars. We haven't done that yet. Maybe someday we will. We can't just do anything. It's the same thing when we're sick. You know, we'll go to a doctor. And they'll apply a human skill to the problem. I mean, they can do some great things. There have been great advances. And, I mean, praise God for what we can do with human ingenuity. But it's limited. God accomplishes, he doesn't use his hands or his, you know, those abilities to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. When God wants to accomplish something, he uses words. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. It says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That's what God says about his words. That's how he accomplishes what he's going to accomplish, through the words that he speaks. Rain has a purpose. Farmers will spend billions of dollars this spring to plant seeds because they trust the power of rain. God says that his words are like rain, better than rain. If you invest billions of dollars in seeds so that the rain will fall on them, then imagine what the seed of God's words can accomplish, the trust that we should put in it. God's word accomplishes what it's supposed to. Not one word will come back to God empty. And that's the power that he makes available to us. What would happen if you took your words that seriously? As serious as God took his words. Even though we trust rain, there could be a drought. Or like last spring, it could flood. I would submit that we should trust God's word and put more confidence in it more than the rain that we experience. Put more trust in the things that you say than the things that you do with your human ingenuity. So often we say certain things, we sow these fields of weeds, and then we go out and we try to correct all the things that we've sown wrong with human ingenuity. Stop speaking trash and speak faith words. Good words are like a timely rain. Speaking doubtful words is really a form of witchcraft. You may not be putting a pin in the doll, but what you're doing with your words is much more effective and real than putting a pin in the doll. A lot of times, you know, we take bad words spoken in doubt and unbelief literally, while good faith words become a sort of cliche. I don't know why we treat the words in the Bible so often as a cliche. And a lot of times we do that. We while good faith words are a cliche, look at what Jesus says about words. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. These are all good scriptures this morning. And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Okay, now obviously that's a cliche, right? Wrong. We just think that we live by bread. We think we live by manna. We think we live by the financial system or the systems of the world. We think we live by the ingenuity of mankind. And I'm going to submit to you that that's not true. That that's a mirage. That we live by the word of God. The words we speak are behind all the things that we have. Words are powerful. Words are like seed. Some seed is good, and other seed produces weeds. Now, I just want you to stop for a second and evaluate your life where you're at right now. Maybe things are going pretty good. Maybe they're tough. Evaluate your life and think of the kinds of seeds that you plant. Now, based on the kinds of words that you speak, are you surprised your life is not better? Or are you surprised your life is as good as it is? If you were to go by the way you speak. Are your good words underperforming? I don't know. I'm just asking. Sometimes people complain of a lack of miracles in the church. But do we plant seeds with our conversation that will sprout into a miracle? Complaining that there is not miracles will not produce a miracle. I think most people want miracles. I want miracles. I hear people testify of miracles. I've experienced miracles. But I don't know how serious we are about the subject because of all the other things that we say that support the opposite. And we just have a great ability to speak and talk one way, and all the garbage, and we're just not always really in tune with what we're doing. You can stand and seek miracles, but if you turn around and list off a litany of complaints all the time about your life and the failures of the world, and all the failures that you recognize, how many of you are pretty good at recognizing failures? How many of you think you have the gift of recognizing failures? Huh? How many of you can spot a hypocrite a mile away? Boy, you're brilliant, because every one of us is a hypocrite. Man. That's not a gift, by the way. I just want you to know that. All right, so realistically, you're probably not going to see miracles. Now, some have experienced miracles. Some have received great, great things through the power of God. But honestly, compared to the number of weeds we plant, it's amazing that we receive so many good things as we do. Now, I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to encourage you to be honest. Don't sow wrong words all the time. And then act like you're so surprised that you have a field full of weeds. And sometimes it's not just the words you sow. I mean, people around you are sowing weeds. Weeds come from all over the place. Don't be so shocked. What's amazing is that there's anything that's really good at all left. When we go around and we just sow weeds day in and day out and then complain about our harvest, I mean, again, that's witchcraft. You can't overcome a crop of weeds by planting more weed seeds. Speak life. Think about this. You can change your life. This is what's so cool about words. You can change your life by the way you speak. Just by the way you speak. I don't know if you see the advantage of that or not. You can change your life by the way you speak. You may not have the ability that you need to fix what is wrong in your life with your hands or your brains or whatever it is. The people you can go to may not have the ability to fix your problem. But you do have the ability to speak life. Every one of us in here has the ability to speak life. No matter what we'll choose to do, but we have the ability to speak life. It's just simple, a simple choice. Being able to choose your words is an incredible opportunity. I mean, it just levels the field. It puts you on a mountaintop. You don't have to turn in a resume. You don't have to have a special degree. You aren't required to be voted most likely to succeed. You don't have to come from a particular family. You don't have to have a pedigree. Just open your mouth and speak God's word. And then nobody can stop you from changing your life by the way that you choose to speak words. And I just think that's just a fantastic opportunity. I don't know where else you can go to get a deal like that. People will hold you back. But you can't hold back the power of God's words. Because He makes sure that they don't return void. Just open your mouth and speak God's word. And watch your life change. I promise you. Mark 11, 22 through 24 says this, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly, I tell you, if anyone," and there it is, the anyone, praise God. If anyone goes to college, if anybody becomes a scientist, if anybody becomes a doctor, if anybody wins the Super Bowl, if anybody, whatever. No, if anyone says to this mountain, "Go throw yourself into the sea," and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you received it, and it will be yours. All in the tongue. And you can't speak trash 24/7 and then say a few faith words and think that you're going to have faith in that. It says, if anyone says, have faith in God, speak according to that faith. Do you believe that God will help you? If you believe that God will help you, you see, then you need to speak that. That's what you need to be. Don't be being shy. Don't be backing off. If you believe God's going to help you, speak that. If you're going around all the time talking about the help you're not getting, I'm supposing that that's probably what you believe. I don't know. I'm suggesting that. But if you believe God is going to help you, then speak that. Speak out how He will help you. Speak out how He has helped you. Rehearse it over and over. God says He delights in your prosperity, your well-being. Do you believe that? Do you believe God wants good things for you? Then you should speak that. You should talk about that. I mean, to me, I think if someone believes that God really wants good things for them, there would be a little bit of excitement. There might be a little bit of spark in your voice when you speak about those things. Don't just talk about what the devil has accomplished in your life, you know, about your poverty and your sickness. Testify about a God that delights in seeing things go good for you. And it doesn't take any skill set to complain about what the devil has done. It doesn't take any skills to recognize what he does and then go out and let everybody know what the devil's done. You don't need to be reminded of all your weaknesses and failures. You don't need to remind everybody else of them. Speaking about them over and over will not make them go away. You're only planting seeds of destruction. Instead, speak about what God has done for you. I mean, if you can only think of one little tiny thing. Well, He gave me breath this morning. Praise God. Speak about that. I got up this morning and praise God, I was able to breathe. Hallelujah. You know, God is good. Instead, speak about what God has done for you, what He will do for you. Speak like a person favored by God. I don't know how you envision a person to speak that's favored by God, but try to imagine a person that's favored by God if you can't envision yourself being favored by God. And how would you expect that person to talk? Oh, my Lord, things are so bad. Oh, I don't know. I just nothing goes going right. Every time I turn around, it goes worse, and I'm hoping to get better, and it just gets worse. Someone comes along, oh man, I've been sick for 3 days. Oh, that's terrible. I know what you're talking about. I've been sick for 5. Somebody else talks, oh yeah, I know. Everybody's getting sick. You know, I was in bed for 2 weeks, you know, and we just like, it's like we just can't get enough of up and we just, who here has suffered more? Who's had the worst day, the worst moment, the worst time, and everything like that? Let's just all talk about it. Where should we start? Who's excited? Who wants to hear it all? How would you expect a person who thinks they're favored by God to speak? What kind of words? What kind of countenance? What kind of brightness in their voice? What kind? I mean, how would you expect that? And then just start being that person. Just start doing that because that's what will change your life. Not speaking about planting fields of weeds day in and day out and then somehow hoping you're going to wake up one day and it's going to be different. You can live that way. And if you love Jesus, you will wake up one day and it will be different. But it'll be the day you go to the grave. Praise God. Some of us are very, very slow. And we'll be griping and we'll be complaining and moaning all the way to heaven. Jesus has a great ability to love us. But we do have an alternative to that. The Bible says some people are going to get to heaven because their seats are going to be lit on fire. You have to be pushed the whole way by heat and fire and discomfort. I suggest you get out in front of it and run. Speak life. Let me close with this. 1 Peter 3:10. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. you are not going to go out of here, I shouldn't confess this, and speak perfectly. Well, it'd be so nice if we could just change like that. But you can go out of here and you can speak significantly different. You know, and when you sometimes, you know what I find funny is sometimes when you start speaking trash, you know, and have you ever started to speak trash and the little light bulb goes off? You know, you go, oops. But now you've kind of like started, you know, and you feel like you're kind of like obligated to go ahead and spew the rest of it out. What kind of weird stuff is that? You think we just like stop right there. Oops, I'm sorry. Did I tell you how good God is? Praise God. Go home today and you know, if you can't speak something good about yourself, speak something good about the person you're with. Just find something to say that's good. Plant a seed. And I don't know. Maybe they're not that great. I picked up, but plant a seed that will give them the opportunity to become great. Be for people. Lift them up. Love them. Encourage them. You'll be surprised what will happen. We're all just looking for some light, some hope. Looking to find out if this God that loves us really is true. I'm going to tell you today it's true. He does love you. And He does want good things to happen to you. And He can fix the impossible. He is the miracle God. And I hope that you love Him enough, or at least start to think about Him enough, that you're going to want to talk about His goodness. How great He is. Remember how the first time you met that boy that was so sparkly and wonderful? You had to go talk to all the girls. How many of you, the first time you went and talked to all the girls about your knight in shining army, spend your first conversations talking about all the bad things? Someone probably did, I don't know. Some of us are pretty rough around the edges. And, you know, so, but we learn. We learn to talk about what we see. We're such experts in seeing faults and weaknesses and all of those kinds of things. And it's just, I mean, I don't know, it just kind of slides off the tongue. Stuff, I mean, I don't know if you ever tried to eat an oyster before. Oh, man, it takes the suffering. I just wish they'd slip the other way. I wish they'd slip the other way. You know, that's kind of when you work. You know, they just slip off the tongue, don't they? Just trust God. Say something good to somebody. You'll be surprised about the difference it makes in your world and their world. You have to be patient. But God's word will